I've watched this transition. I did not know Kanye West from anybody in the world. About 3 years ago, I was listening, hearing from the conservative patriots and different people I was listening to that something was going on in his life, something major. He broke down at a concert. He starts talking to his audience that are typical. This is an R&B guy, like vulgar, rough, bad, drunk, everything. Stands at the Grammys with a bottle of whiskey in his hand. I mean, he was bad. And he has this awakening. And he ends up in the hospital. His family, I believe, put him in the hospital because he was pretty much having a breakdown of some kind. They didn't know what was going on with him. And while he's in the hospital, he prays. And this stuff had been showing up in his songs up to this point. He said, I'd like to talk to God, but I'm afraid. Well, he's in the hospital, and he talks to Jesus. And he not only gives his life, but he says, I'll start a church somewhere. I mean, he goes for it. Now, this is not a church planter. He probably doesn't have the permission from the church community. He's not ethical. He goes, he makes a statement to somebody, his family, I'm going to make a Jesus, the name of this album that just got released 2 weeks ago, Jesus is King. That's the name of that album. Jesus is King. And on this album, song after song, he's preaching better than me. I mean, he's laying out stuff. And Kanye West has amazing influence. Several years back, he's married to Kim Kardashian. I mean, we're talking Hollywood celebrity drama. Yeah? Big time. At the top. He makes a choice to get married instead of just living with her, and it influenced the black community, the males, the men. And he has this influence when he makes a decision and starts doing something, whether you like it or not. He has influence, and he hooks up with Jesus, and guess who Jesus is going to use in our culture? And I heard this, and I heard about it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know about the album. Kevin texts me, and, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. You know, it's like, I don't know, you know, we're not sure about it. And then some other things happened. Oh, Ashley sends me an interview with another celebrity that does talk shows called James Corden. Is that correct? And he does some unique things. He's a neat guy. I don't know him real well. I hadn't heard him before. But he does one of these interviews type thing, karaoke thing, with Kanye West. Only instead of having the celebrity coming into his car with the cameras and driving around and singing their songs, whether Odell or Stevie Wonder, you know, when he does a Stevie Wonder one, Stevie Wonder sitting in the driver's seat, he's like, I'm telling you, man, I'm not sure I want you to drive. No, I'm good. I can drive. No, I'm telling you, like, there's no way you've got a license. No, you're right. I don't have a license. So, you know, it's funny. It's good. Then he starts singing with him. It's pretty cool, the few things I saw. With Kanye West, he goes and he gets on a jet, like a 747 with him. And Kanye West's choir is on the plane. Ashley said, you listen to that video yet? I'm like, no, I get videos all the day. Someone's always want me to watch this, which is cool. And I'm hitting my stops and running around and doing this. And I'm at Walmart. I started listening to this interview that James Corden is doing. It's so uplifting, I almost lose it in Walmart. Like, I almost flip out my headset like, hey, man, Kanye West is preaching the gospel like this is magnificent. It was so uplifting. I mean, I may play the video someday here in church. It's so good. I mean, wow. And he's speaking the language. He's got the influence to our culture, to our people. and this song, this you know, closed on Sunday. Chick-fil-A is what's the name for a franchise? Thank you, Samuel. They're closed on Sundays, right? So he takes that slogan and then, you know, you're my Chick-fil-A, and it's also, it's the name of the restaurant, but it's also a term of endearment, like the way he's using it. And of course, everything that R&B guys do, you have to translate what they're doing because they'll, you know. But once you get the language, you're like, oh, this is cool. It's neat what he's communicating in this. And then he moves into this and this appeal. If you've got daughters, protect them. Like, it's a call to the adults and the men and women that are having children, have families. Like, stop. Stop the selfies for a moment. It's the day of rest. Like, he declares a Sabbath rest. The day, like the Lord told us, take a day and rest. I command you, rest. Take a day. Stop the stuff. Spend time with your family. Connect. And so he's proclaiming that. He's proclaiming the Sabbath rest. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, this is so good. He's like, take time with your kids. Put down the phones. Like, it's not just kids that are on their phones. Put the gram away, the telephone away. You know, like, set it aside. Get close. Watch over your sons. Don't criticize your sons for being bad. Pray over them. Bless them. Lead them in the way so they can avoid the temptations that are pulling at them. And then he's like, I'm taking my stand against the enemy that wants to destroy my family. I'm setting up my guard. I'm putting down my foot. Step back, man. This is my stuff. Like, wow. I'm like this guy. I've been walking around with the headsets on, listening to all of his songs, and they just get better from here. And so it's such a neat thing. I take the time to say this to brag on Jesus. When we're all fussed about lives and our lives and the world and what's going bad, Jesus hasn't stopped. He's not on vacation. He is winning the most unlikely souls and people that you can imagine right under your nose. So the prayers we've prayed have not been in vain, and God is at work. And the promises he gives, he will fulfill. He will do it. He says, I will do it. You're like, when? He says, I will do it. Your when and his when may not be the same, but he will do it. So Jesus is faithful. I'm so blessed. Is this guy perfect? No. Just like our president, he's not perfect, but he's called. And he's doing stuff. And he's in this interview. One last thing about this, and James Gordon says to him, "Okay, it's Tuesday night, nothing going on. You're home with the family. What's your night home with the family look like?" He goes, "Number one, I don't like to be out at night. I want to be home. I want to be home with my family. That's huge. That's big. I know you may not realize it because that's almost normal for a lot of you, but it is abnormal for the rest of the world." And especially for young families and young men especially. I love to be home. He says, I come home, get home from what I've done that day, sit down, we play with the kids. I think he has 4 children. I think he'd like to have 7, I don't know. We play with the kids, and we put them to bed. Have supper, you know, we play with them. Spend time with our kids. And then we put them to bed, and Kim watches Dateline, and I read my Bible. And James Corden says, he's like, you what? You do what? I read my Bible, man. Like, yeah, I sit and read my Bible. When you hear the words to a song, get the album, honestly. Get it. Get over the whatever. It's good stuff. I like good music. I like all music. If it's good, Lou, and it's good. It's neat stuff. It's neat. And in it is his story and the stories and wow. Like, it's a call to the church. Like, honor the Sabbath rest, take time for each other, put your distractions down. Build the things that matter. Yeah? Yeah? Jesus is at work. Now, setting a timer on myself. See if that helps. Karen did take Phyllis to the hospital. She's been several days really in severe pain, abdomen, and she had endometriosis once before, a couple years ago, that put her in the hospital for about 2 years, or two and a half years ago. Diverticulitis. What did I say? She had that one, too. She's had a couple otises and itises and whatever. Pregnancies. We've had it all. That was dramatic. Good fruit, good results. And so I kept like, Phyllis, tell me what you want to do. Like, I'd like to tell her what to do, but you don't tell her what to do, you know, that thing. I was telling Kurt, like, yeah, there's things you don't cross. And so she finally decided to go. So that's good. They'll see what's going on. Okay. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Here's what I want to go after today. Let me read Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1. I'm reading out the Passion Translation. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you, I entreat you, brethren, by the mercies of God, is how the other Bibles read. I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. So we've looked at this even recently. Like, we're called, what's the calling? To be a living sacrifice, not a dead one, living one. And live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship, or your reasonable service. This is the reasonable thing for you. You were created by him. He died. He gave his life for you. It's only reasonable. It's only reasonable that you would surrender your life, that you would give your life. And when you give your life to him and you choose to follow Jesus, there are incredible, there's no end of promises that are directly attached to you following Jesus and being a disciple. And there are all these promises with persecution. Don't leave that, can't leave that out. And you do need to count the cost. It's like marrying the perfect person. We all married the perfect person, right? Then a year later, they changed. A little bit into it, you're like, oh, I don't know if this is who I thought I married. Surprise! But we need to be more than converts. Pray the prayer, the formula of Christianity. That doesn't get it. When it gets tough, you'll be out. You'll be complaining. God's not answering my prayers. What did this happen? Where did this sickness come from? I'm broke. I didn't see that coming. I've got troubles. We have a child that was born less than perfect. What's up with that? I was hedging my bets. Jesus, where are you? You let me down. I mean, stuff happens, yeah? So you got to be in it like full in, honestly, or stay out. Because it'll beat the heck out of you. Like, and the only way you can endure it is if you're going to get in, get in. If you're going to do a karate punch, you know, a karate thing and break a board, you better hit that board hard. You better hit it believing your hand's going to go through it. Because if you don't, you're going to hurt yourself. And so, what's your reasonable service? To surrender yourself, living sacrifice, be all in. And when you do that, you go, I'm following you, whatever it costs. That's the mandate. We've got to preach that message. Come and follow Jesus. Become a disciple. Be willing to give your life. Lots of promises here. It's the best life you will ever have, but it will cost you. It will cost you. It costs all of us something. And it's only reasonable. We can't earn it, but it will cost you. It's a oxymoron. It's a paradigm. I better have notes somewhere, but maybe not. Last message. Turn with me to, wouldn't that be a kill if I just left them? It doesn't really matter. I'll go with the day. Hey, I got to, you know, the clocks went back this last night. I heard Maria say, I'm tired. It's like, Maria, you got an extra, yeah. Don't tell her. Okay. She's so proud of herself for getting here on time. Don't ruin it for her. I'm so proud of her. And so it's hard for us old people, you know, get up at the, you know, super early every morning, and then it hits 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I'm, you know, I can be fine until I sit down, and we listen to something together, or do, and man, I'm like, phew, I got to go to bed, like, losing altitude fast. Well, then, you know, then you're watching the clock. It's 9 o'clock, but it's really only 8 o'clock, and trying to stay up a little bit. Well, anyways, I caved, went to sleep, you know, we just like, I got to go to bed, and we go to bed, and I'm up at 1:30, wide awake, bing. And I had this thought, then it was 1:45, and I'm kind of looking at my phone, and I'm like wide awake and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I wonder what it's like to actually watch the time change. Did you ever have that thought? I mean, they always say it happens at 2 a.m., and did anybody ever see that happen? You know, it's like the sunrise. Cheryl Blackburn's never seen the sunrise, I don't think. It happens every day, but she misses it, you know, and she really doesn't even care. I'm like, you don't know what you're missing. Anyways, sure enough, you know, I'm on my phone, I look at the time, it's like, you know, it was 1:45, blah, 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 all of a sudden it's 1 a.m. I'm like, hey, I got to experience the time change. Okay, whatever. That was anticlimactic. Gee, many Christmas. The promise here in Romans 12 is that, verse 2, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. And even Kanye West, stop being a slave to the culture, to your culture, to the culture. Ooh, that's a good line. That's a really good line. Here's a black man that's very sensitive to slavery. And then he says something that applies to all of us. Stop being a slave to the culture. That's that keeping up with the Joneses thing. That's that rat race we're on. It's like, why are we doing this to ourselves? And Jesus is like, I don't know. I can't figure it out for the life of me. If you calm down and rest a little bit, I'll give to my beloved even while they sleep. Really? Like, I've been meditating on that lately. I've been telling myself, just take a day at a time, take it easy. And he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. I like that. Because the rat race doesn't seem, you don't seem, did anybody get in ahead? Running with the rats? Racing with the rats? Not really. And it goes up in smoke so fast. But the things you do for the Lord and the things that you do out of a consciousness that I'm doing what I know is right, that lasts forever. That's eternal stuff. Take time to love on your kids, kiss your wife on the forehead. Bing! Guys, I just want to encourage you. That's just not good for the moment. That's eternal. Wow. It's these little things that we do, these purposeful things, the way we serve, they're the things that go up there. And we're trying to give big amounts of money and build things and do stuff and accomplish stuff and run around the world. And what do you got when you get to heaven? Nothing. A lot of this stuff doesn't transfer. Just going to warn you. It's like going to another country with your American dollars. Maybe they'll exchange it. Maybe they'll go, oh, that's no good here. That could happen. Wow. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. And here's the question. And here's my message. Have any of the rest of you that are willing to be honest said, wow, I've been at this for a long time, but I'm not feeling very transformed into the image. I'm still not too close to being Christ-like. When the pressure's on, I'm still, you know, out come the claws. I'm like, oh, I forgot I still had those. To scratch somebody. We're all little angels when we're, you know, things are good and we're well fed and we're well watered and we're rested. We're all just little angels. We're wonderful. Get dressed up, go somewhere. Look at you. You look so nice, you know. But let things start happening. Let the stuff come. Let the things happen. Let it get out of order. Let someone move your cheese, step on your toes, change things, and then we'll see what you're really made of. Then we'll see. And Jesus, that's when we go, not as close as I thought I was. As long as things were good, you know, then we get mad at people. You messed me up. How did I mess you up? Because you made me angry. I made you angry? Yeah, you know what you said. You made me angry. You made yourself. You got angry all on your own. Don't, that's not on me. That's on you. Wow, we're always saying that, aren't we? You made me this. You made me that. Own it. Own it. I chose to get angry. I'm choosing that. I chose to sin. I chose to make a bad decision. Like, that salesman, really? You were going after it pretty hard there. Didn't you have the little warning lights going off? Don't buy it, don't buy it, don't buy it. Oh, you bought it. And then you wake up in the next morning. Oh, what did I just do? Jesus is standing there like, I told you. I want to be transformed. And I get this book, really inspired me. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6:12, and then I'll tell you about the book. The book, 1 Timothy 6:12. So fight with faith, or fight the good fight. Fight with faith for the winner's prize. Lay your hands upon eternal life, for this is your calling, celebrating in faith before the multitudes of witnesses. So there may be a lot of elements about how to be conformed and transformed into the image of Christ. I'm not going to try to hit all of them. I don't even know what all of them are, actually. But there are keys if we're looking for this. So how do I get changed? How do I get transformed? I've prayed the prayer. I felt great, like I made a good choice. I accepted Jesus. I chose Jesus. Great, good for you. Pat yourself on the back. Good choice. But the transformation, the real trying and testing, which is more as a process, it has to be a process, because anything we get quick doesn't stay. Like, the Lord knows this. He's got to move us through a process, and a process begins when you pray the right prayers. I would encourage you to pay attention. Ask the Holy Spirit, because He's the one that knows, what should I be praying about? Like, have you asked that question lately? What do you want me to pray? And you see something missing in your life, pray for that. Pray, Lord, I'm not very good in this area. What's going on here? Could you pray? Could you help me open this door? Heaven's like, wow, we've been waiting for you to ask that question. We're definitely, angels will be there in the morning faster than UPS and Prime and whatever else you get, next day delivery. Like, get answers to that prayer. So here's this principle. Here's one of many. You need to lay hold of it. You know, we're busting our little ones because we're trying to teach them to share. Share, 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 you know. The point is, they know how to lay hold of something pretty early. You don't even have to teach them to go, mine, right? Have any of you had to teach your children to say no or mine? I don't know how or why, but man, that's an automatic, you know, download. They just from being plugged into the human race, they can say no and they can say mine. Now that I have a grandson, I'm a little closer to the inner workings of the, you know, I'm going to get all kinds of, you know, revelations, I'm sure, as I get closer, you know, to the interaction and the stuff that goes on. We need to do that with Christ. I'll try to say this gentle. It won't come out very good. We just think it's going to happen. We just think the transformation's going to just happen, and we sit around waiting, and then we start blaming God that, like, this isn't working. He's like, you're not laying hold of anything. You're still in your American comfort chair riding down the road with your music going, the wind blowing through your hair, and your fastest, latest Subaru, and, you know, you're like, my life's not changing much. I'm not being conformed to the image. Like, there needs to be this thing where you'd lay hold of it and you grab it. You go, I got this. I'm getting this. This is the whole concept about Jacob wrestling with God. He limped afterwards, but he got what he laid hold of. He wouldn't let go of the angel of the Lord. You know, it's like, oh, you're a tenacious little bugger. We need to, where's that at in us? We don't contend for things. Like, we pray a prayer, it doesn't happen. We're like, God never answers my prayer. I know we do this. Like, we need to get tenacious about it, get some teeth on it, go, I need this to happen. Storm heaven, get into it. Now, I don't have all the dynamics of that. I was listening to Roland Baker, and he said, you know, here's this guy. He's so brilliant and so spiritual, him and Heidi Baker and their mission in Mozambique. And I've been listening to him more lately, and he goes, he's being interviewed. He goes, we barely know God. Now, this is a guy that really knows stuff. He goes, we barely know God. And the guy interviewing Nathan goes, what do you mean? Like, you're saying we barely know God? He's like, yeah, we barely know God. And we're doing all this work, we're planting all these churches, and we're doing this work in Mozambique, and it took quite a while to get it going, but it's going. We have all this stuff and all over. And there's hurricanes and tornadoes, and what do they have over there? What's that? Yeah, typhoon. Yeah, is it a typhoon? I think so. Yeah, we have one, and they have the other. Comes into the continent. It's in the southern hemisphere. Hemisphere, and I think things go the other way, you know. Don't mean to be crude and gross, but the water in the toilet goes the other way, you know. In our place, it swirls this way, and their place, it swirls that. That's weird, isn't it? Did you know that? And so the hurricanes, they go the other way, so they call them something different. Well, one hits Mozambique. I mean, major devastation, and they're big. And they're usually smaller there, like they're usually smaller, but it flooded really big. It was earlier this year. Created a mess, but Pemba, where they are located and founded, was still safe. It didn't get hit like that by this thing. 6 months later, bam, Pemba. The winds were so strong, I think they were 180 mile an hour winds, and they don't have our kind of houses. They have stick houses with tin roofs. And sheets of metal were flying and cutting people's heads off. It was horrible. Like, this is very horrible. It wasn't in the news. It's not on the news, we don't know about it. I'm not going to do it. Anyways, it was horrendous. Talk about disheartening. And you're on the mission field, and you're working hard, and you finally have church plants, and you finally have this mission field, and you're doing these things, and you're accomplishing stuff, and two of these things come and wipe out the place. People are still starving over there because the humanitarian agencies, they're only good for maybe 2 months. And Roland Baker and them, they're still working, still trying. They said, we don't even know what's going on the interior. You can't get there and the water, get to it, and the water, the flooding is still so bad, the ground is still so saturated from earlier this spring that they still can't plant. And there's not a local Walmart. Here's this man that you really carry these things when you're the leader. Here's this man that's still manifesting the joy of the Lord. Now, what does he have that we don't have? He says, and they do everything they can do, but it tapped out all the agencies. Like, they didn't even know how to deal with this humanitarian crisis. They still don't. And in that context, he says, we barely know God. Like, why? But at one point, they're taking food, taking bread, and the people start to say, we don't want your bread, we don't want the food, we want Bibles, we want tracts. And and Rollins said at one point they brought in this bunch of tracts. People were tearing his clothes off to get to the tracts and get to the Bibles. And the church is exploding, still expanding and going. Because the real thing, the real gospel, is more powerful than this stuff. We live in fear of losing our conveniences, and honestly, I'm not praying that we do lose them. I still like my showers and my deodorants and all those things available to me. I really do. I would never pray that those go away. Please, Jesus, you know. But it shows you the power of this thing. It shows you the far-reaching thing. How we transform. Lay hold. Lay hold of Jesus. Get tenacious. I just began reading in this book, and I hit some things. After years of seeking him, and this is called Throne Room Prayers by Candace and Brian Simmons, Brian and Candace Simmons, who wrote the Passion Translation. And they have this book. I'm like, I need to get that book. Like, it looked really intriguing. And I'd forgotten a couple pages, and I'm almost in, you know, just barely in chapter two. That's how fast it's going. So we've discovered that the way to live Christ is to breathe him. Like, oh, got my attention right here. And the way to breathe him is to call on him without ceasing. See, back to this formula of Christianity, this, you know, we pray prayers. Here, pray this little prayer. Okay. That works if you absolutely need a jump start. But when that prayer is over, you need to practice praying without ceasing, and yes, y'all can. I don't care how busy, how whatever, this is for all of us. The goal is to get into a state of prayer, a communication with the Lord. Why break it? Why let it stop? Keep it rolling. Keep it moving. Do things that enhance that. I know I can tell when I'm listening to a good teaching or listening to some good worship, my prayer language just starts rolling. Like, I just start praying. I'm like, oh, I'm tapping into something good. Even if I don't understand, I know I'm tapping into things. I try to keep myself inundated with that. Like, I try to keep in that. And if I have a day where I'm not really communicating with the Lord, I feel grieved. And I haven't done anything wrong except I don't like that. I don't want that. We live, we breathe him. And then he refers to the scripture, lay hold on eternal life to which you were called. We've been called to eternal life. Now we must lay hold of this life by calling on the Lord day and night, night and day, by calling on him. We breathe him in. Jesus. It's up to you. Do you want transformed into the image of Christ, or do you want to stay like you are? I'm not that big of a fan of Rick without Christ. Just saying. J. Jumping down a paragraph, calling on the Lord is one way that he draws us into his heart. He knows that his life-changing power is released when we spend time with him, and he knows that adoration turns into transformation. So here's another key. When we worship, we're not just doing a worship service. Like, I hope you engage and use it. We've got a marvelous, wonderful worship team, team of people that are truly wanting to worship and facilitate worship. Don't waste it. Don't waste the moments. There's something that happens when we're corporately together. Yes, I worship other times and pray, but there's something that happens when we're together and we worship. Don't waste it. Enter in, tap in, reach in. Get your Bible out, meditate. Before, when I was not on the worship team, that was what I would do. I'd sit with my, stand with my Bible, interact with the Lord. I'd sing a little, pray a lot, you know, interact with the Lord, use it. Like the song, don't like the song, like the worship leader, don't watch, like the worship leader, doesn't matter, it's worship, you're in worship, like, use it. And the more you're in that, the more you're transformed. Sometimes these manifestations of the Spirit make no sense to us. Do anybody have it figured out yet? Me neither. However, the aftermath is that I'm changed. I'm scratching my head, but it makes a difference. The more time I spend in the Spirit, the more time I lay, if I'm just waiting on the Lord, I'm like, nothing's happening. The Spirit's like, don't listen to that lie. Things are happening you don't realize. And he knows that adoration turns into transformation if we'll be patient. To love him must be our supreme occupation. And the more we love him, the more we spend time with him. And the more we spend time with him, the more our soul is transformed into his image. As we give him our heart in prayer, he gives us his heart in exchange, transforming us from within. The more you give your heart to prayer, the more you'll experience his presence. The more you give, you will experience this. Tap in. Pray. Start praying those prayers. Pray those prayers. So let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I just, for every heart that's hungry and listening, Lord, I want to, I pray that you will highlight the prayers that we need to pray to get moving, keep our hearts soft, to dial into what you're saying, to come fully alive in Christ. And Father, for this goal, this beautiful, awesome goal, that Christ be formed in us. And the Apostle Paul prayed this prayer in Galatians. I prayed for you that Christ will be formed, until Christ be formed in you. Lord, I want Jesus to be formed in us. That we're not just trying to act good or behave well, but there is a transformation in our hearts, that Christ is welling up in us. That Christ is formed in our hearts unto transformation. Lord, we're going to come back and look at this and go, yeah, I want that. I want more of that. I'm not there yet. I want the transforming process to be released in my life. I want to be transformed into the very image of Christ, that I can hear better, see better, know better, that I carry Jesus, that I carry him wherever I go. And we celebrate you, Lord Jesus. We just celebrate you. And you said to us, if we truly love you, we will keep your commands. And whoever passionately loves you will be passionately loved by the Father. And you have promised to love us in return and to manifest your presence in us. John 14:21. So, Father, manifest your presence in us. Unto this, that your presence is manifest, that your likeness is manifest, that we start to glow like the glowing one, that we have light like the one who is light and the author of light. And so, Father, we surrender our lives as living sacrifices, considering the promises and the price and the cost. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for how you're using us. Thank you so much for how you're using us. How you're using us. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Is there anything else that we...